Dan Compton, welcome to Love Will End Abortion. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Yeah, so you just gave an amazing testimony talk at the National Right to Life Convention here, but I could tell you had a whole lot more to say, and the Lord's using you to do mighty things and certainly giving you the gifts to say much. So whatever's on your heart and mind, I just want you to share a little bit more with us, unpack a little more for us and for our listeners.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate it. And one of the most amazing things about just getting the opportunity to tell this story is I'm still amazed by it, truly amazed by what God has done. And like we talked about in there, it's just simply not about me. The love and the grace that God showed me to give me life, which in turn, the life of my children, it's so hard to even contemplate. But the response to that is, I mean, we have a responsibility with what we do with that. And just in the nature of our culture, what is so absent, and this is what's been on my heart, I mean, especially even this morning, is how do we respond to to those that believe abortion should be a choice? What's not effective in my experience is clubbing somebody over the head with the facts. How can we make a personal connection? How can we love them and listen to them, but tell them the truth of the evil of abortion, the truth of the gospel that will ultimately heal that heart and anger and hate? Because in our society, you know, babies are the sacrifice of our own worship, our own, you know, I mean, what, thousands of years ago they used to give human sacrifices. We're doing that with children now as we worship ourselves, right? And so it's a worship problem. It's a relationship problem. It's the absence of love. And if we had the opportunity to be eyeball to eyeball and face to face and love the opposition, what would change, right? And that takes infinitely more work in my experience to do that than to be angry, you know what I mean? And so in all of that, I think the response to Tiller and what that has shaped, what that means to my life, I think that's been the most meaningful thing. And that's really what I want people to take away. You can't do it on your own. And you have to respond in love to those that disagree. And it's exceptionally difficult. You know, how do we do that together?
Anything that you can share with people about how to be more effective? What are some of the most effective things that you believe in terms of what people, regular people who are thinking right now, they see the evil of abortion, they see their responsibility, Christian calling to respond, but then they look around and they're having a hard time figuring out what they can practically do to make an impact.
Sure. Well, a couple of things. One is education is everywhere, right? I mean, take time to understand what you really believe. Understand, although it's difficult, the horrors of what abortion really is. I mean, be able to have a conversation with somebody is absolutely critical, I think. The other side is, and what we do as Christians so often is we surround ourselves with people that are like us. We never take time to build relationships outside of this circle. And so in our circle, we have all of these great arguments that everybody agrees with. We never go out and build missional relationships with other people. What we will do oftentimes is, okay, God has brought this person to me. Now I'm going to dump all of this knowledge on them and, you know, hopefully they'll get it and I walk away, versus actually spending time building those relationships, finding a way to love those people, and sharing the truth about abortion, about the truth of the gospel, so that heart change is what is garnered, what comes out of that. I find myself a lot as I get to travel and meet people and start to build relationships with somebody who thinks differently than me. Is I spend a lot of time, and this is really practical, but it has really transformed our ministry and what we get to do. So I pray for a heart that could love them, you know? And it's it's easier said than done, especially in the state of our culture. It's like, let's, you know, figure out which side we're going to stand on and let's do battle. And we're exceptionally ineffective and do nothing more but continue to divide.
Yeah, one of the things that that I'm convicted of and that we've been building up in my local area, but it certainly is building all around and has been around a long time, is sidewalk counseling, sidewalk advocacy, really with the methods that, that the Sidewalk Advocates for Life now have brought together and some of just the best practices from all around the country and getting people on the sidewalk, getting them with the right disposition of heart, the right frame of mind. And one of those things is that not to see anybody as our enemy, right? But to see them as they are a human being. The abortionist is a human being. The abortion workers are human beings. And we're there actually for them as well, trying to love them into a better place. And particularly with your story, one thing I was not expecting in your story was really it was an act of kindness through an abortionist that played a big role in you being given the gift of life to come into the world, right? So what does that say to us about maybe the impact of our prayers for abortion workers and abortionists, and also how maybe we can be judgmental sometimes and demonize when God can still bring some good through that person? So what are your thoughts on all that?
Well, I'll answer the question a little bit in a different way. A big part of my story is the fact that I spent 10 years in alcoholism and drug abuse. And all of my friends and family, anybody that stuck around and obviously most left just based on the type of person that I was, they had written me off. Like, there's no way, there is no redemption. You know, he is so far gone. There was no expectation that I would ever recover, that I wasn't just completely, fully self-destruct. And that's what addiction does, is it takes everything from you and then it kills you. And you know, that was the expectation my friends and family had. I had a few faithful people, the woman that would become my wife and my parents who stayed and faithfully prayed. And, you know, here I am 10 years sober and, you know, on a path that I couldn't even imagine. You know, to your point of what our prayers do, I mean, an infinitely powerful, never-tiring God hears them, right? And he answers prayer. I mean, if there's anything biblically that is absolutely consistent, is that he hears and that he answers. And so, you know, the juxtaposed position, right? I don't even have the right words for it, of Tiller taking this woman in, caring for her for 4 months of the pregnancy and then delivering me. I mean, I can't comprehend that other than to say what you said is that I believe it was the answer to the prayers of my parents. Why would God choose me? Like, I can't even attempt to reconcile that. But I rest in that it was their faithfulness for 7 years praying for a child, and God knew exactly how he was going to answer that in the most spectacular way. I sit in total awe of that.
Yeah, amazing. And I think that leads me to one of the things I recognize in you, which is so authentic, is just to, you know, to be real about your story and also to allow God to be glorified in it. For some reason, I'm getting the sense in talking with you, I think about you in this gospel story, but also myself in this gospel story. I can relate to a lot of, you know, your conversion, your transformation, because I've experienced some profound conversion and transformation myself. So praise God. But it's the gospel story of, and I haven't thought about this in a long time, but it's coming up, and that's the story of where I believe it's a demoniac, and Jesus heals him, and then he's there, and it says these wonderful words in Scripture that he's in his right mind. He's in his right mind. And so it's hard when I'm talking with you, Dan, to even imagine that you were a guy so far off the track that people would have been written off, because the Lord has done so much in you. I look at you right now and it's like, it's hard to imagine. I just saw your beautiful family and man, it's amazing what God is doing. And there is no way to explain it other than that it's real. Absolutely. So I don't know. Can you speak a little bit more into that?
Well, listen, I don't think you understand the, I don't think you really get a grasp for life until you experience pain. And I think the one thing that we do poorly in our society is appreciate that, right? We're so shocked that life isn't comfortable when it was never designed that way, right? And so, you know, in realizing who we used to be, who I used to be, I can't do anything but just be totally amazed at where we are. I mean, as you say that, I hear that, and I'm like, you're totally right. Like, I can't, I have a beautiful wife and incredible children who have never seen me that way. It is an act of God's mercy and grace, and that, you know, no one is beyond saving. And, you know, I think that that's the one thing that I come back from these types of events that I always hear is there's always people that come up and say, can you pray for my alcoholic husband or drug addicted son or, you know, my child that's, you know, what do you call it? The prodigal son, right? We're waiting for them to return. You know, and the fact that, man, God is not done. He is going to be glorified. He is going to finish what he starts. And ultimately, it comes down to that Ephesians 3, I think, that we, you know, the Lord brought to me before coming into the room today was, it's an inside-out deal. You know, it truly starts from within, and it continues to grow as we take steps of faithfulness towards him. And, you know, my experience is he doesn't even come close to disappointing. It's on a level that I, you know, could never even imagine. So, I mean, there's so much to say to that, but.
Yeah, very good. Any final message for our listeners today?
Oh, listen, you know, I think that the message of life is one that we carry constantly. It's one that we are responsible for as image bearers of God. And it should shape our decisions and how we speak and be mindful of how we live as those called to a different purpose impacts the world around us. It is not by our strength, might, power, determination, dedication that anything gets accomplished for the kingdom of God. It is God's power amongst our weakness. And so we need to realize that we are image bearers and stand in awe of what God is doing, that he's going to do in each of us. You know, I'll say this lastly. I love it when it seems like younger people come up and say to me, I wish I had a story like yours. My response is always the same. No, you don't. You don't. Your faithfulness, God will reward. Your faithfulness, God will reward for his purpose and his kingdom, not for our comfort, right? And so we can be encouraged that God knows what he's doing, and he's got our best interests in mind, and he wants to take us on this journey of engagement and relationship together. And evil will be overcome. Like, so there's hope in all of it.
Awesome. So, yeah, Dan Compton, thank you for being with us today.
Yeah, man, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.